What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, August 5th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes, 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues, a.k.a. the engaged one, at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
Yeah, I got a woo out of you.
You did get a woo.
Wasn't expecting that.
Oh, yeah?
Did you get some rest this weekend?
Oh, I did,
you feeling good?
It's a good Monday. Ready? Good Monday. I'm feeling it in my bones.
Are you?
You watched Patriot Act last night.
I did watch Patriot Act last night.
Well, hell yeah, you did.
Yeah, of course.
What a fantastic show, my boy. Hasan Minhaj, he's doing the damn thing, covering video game labor laws and all that stuff.
He sure is, and that's why Greg from Edmonton wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Tim, what is the full Patriot Act nutshell if nobody knows what you're talking about?
So he came from The Daily Show. He was a correspondent. Very funny. Very, very, very good at kind of getting to the nuts of issues and making them relatable and funny.
Yeah.
Right? Very Daily Show-esque. But then,
talks very much like you, I noticed. With a loud sweater, good hair, very animated.
Yes.
This. He's counting on his fingers. This is my first time I watched The Patriot
Really?
Act. It was yesterday.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
this
and
video
you can see why I like him, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it is
and
just
the video.
Like,
wall,
a lot of hair products,
graphics.
A lot of Jordans, yeah. Bomber jackets, yeah. Hand movements. It's great. Video walls, yes. Anyways, he did a special on Netflix, a comedy special, but really it was more of like a one-man act type thing with video walls and crazy stuff. And it was just kind of his life story and like the racism he's faced and all that stuff. And that got so much attention that Netflix was like, yo, we want to double down and give you a weekly show.
Gotcha.
And it's one of the only successful weekly shows on Netflix that they've ever seen.
Gotcha.
We're in the fourth volume right now. Just came back last night, and they came back with video game labor laws, something very near and dear to our hearts. So.
And Greg from Edmonton wrote in with a long summation and a lot of questions. So let's get into it. Hey, Greg and Tim, I apologize for the length. Edit as needed. I'm not editing anything, Greg. The latest episode of Patriot Act on Netflix talks about video games this time. Parentheses, it should be required watching. It is. I enjoyed it.
Also, speaking of that, it is on YouTube. The cool thing about the show is it's on Netflix, but for some reason they're like, fuck it, the show's so good and we want it to keep going, so we're going to also put it on YouTube the day after. So it's on Mondays. You can go right now to youtube.com/Patriot Act. And it's there.
Hasan, the host, explores the size of the industry, crunch time, and working conditions in the industry all in a humorous way that can reach people outside of the industry. I knew the video game industry was huge, but the show explains that it's bigger than the film industry, music streaming, and album sales, the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB, and the NHL combined, which blew my mind. Now that sports industries are fighting for gamers' attentions, what kind of ways do you think they could try to compete besides putting out their own video games? Advertising at major gaming events? To me, that's crazy. I can see a future where the, quote, Fortnite World Championship is brought to you in part by the NBA, and to me, that's mind-blowing having grown up playing my N64. Hasan interviews a former employee with Telltale who reveals that people in the video game industry are considered veterans after 5 years, as most people don't last longer. Now, that seems insane to me. I know the burnout from crunch is real, but is it possible that was more of a thing at Telltale and not as bad as at other major devs? My friend works for BioWare here in Edmonton, and he told me that they have severely cut back on hiring temporary employees for crunch. They are trying to stick with the permanent employees. I have another friend, though, who was their only temporary and is now working on an indie game with other former devs that left Anthem after it launched. The show brings to light the issues of sexism in the industry and mentions some things that happened at Riot that I wasn't aware of. And I don't know, how is that not aware of? We talked about it on the show. Why aren't you watching the show every day, Greg? It brings up the call for unions, too. Do you think this show, being on Netflix and being so approachable to people outside the industry, might finally help get the change that the industry desperately needs to come to pass? As always, keep up the great work. So let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think this did last night in terms of taking something we do talk about in the show often, even though Greg from Edmonton doesn't fucking watch every day?
I think it does exactly what the show does each and every week, which is it starts off extremely broad and kind of lighthearted and just explaining what the topic is. And then there's always usually two layers deeper it goes. It's usually about 20 to 30 minutes an episode.
Yeah.
And it'll start off like fairly lighthearted. It'll be like the internet. And they're talking about the internet. But then it gets into how social media is being used by politicians around the world to kind of create issues, right?
Yeah.
And then it'll go even deeper than that, of like how that relates back to whatever. And so there's always like different levels. And I think that this is that first level. This is, let's get it to the mainstream a bit more. this isn't fully mainstream, but it's like at least in the this conversation is going to be next to conversations they're having on The Daily Show. Right.
Sure.
And it's similar to the WWE thing that John Oliver did recently, where it's like there's this problem that everyone knew was going on, but now people are actually talking about it. Is any action going to be taken at that level? Probably not, but it's definitely going to get us one step closer to a conversation being had to get us there.
That's the whole point with all this, right? Where people, when you'll see, I mean, it was Cecilia from Kotaku on the show last night, obviously, and she's obviously the reporter who broke the story about everything going on at Riot, right? When these things happen, a lot of times people in the past have been like, ugh, why air people's dirty laundry, yada, yada, yada. You see it now with more and more of these stories happening, more and more people talking about unionization, more and more developers being like, we're not. It didn't make the Roper report today, but Obsidian today in an interview was like, we are not a crunch studio. Like, there is some talking to somebody and he was like, sure, there's been a time where maybe for leading up to a milestone, I've been asked to work longer hours on a week, but it's always an ask. It's not blah, blah, blah. Like, people are getting in front of this, trying to, number one, encourage people to come to their studios. Number two, have fans who are worried about this understand that they're worried about it. And I'm sure, number three, make sure you're fostering, hey, not every work environment's garbage. So please still try to be a video game developer, a young person who's interested in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think that it's the same thing with this, right? Hassan's show being out there, hopefully getting a wider audience. Sorry?
Hassan.
Sorry, my first time meeting them.
Yep, I didn't know for a long time either.
Okay. Having the show out there, Patriot Act, covering this, right, I think does get it to a wider audience. And I thought that was what was interesting about it for you, what you're bringing up of starting broad and dialing down. Where when it started off, it was such a broad thing. And he was talking about how he started with the N64, which made me feel so old. And then going into it, but it's like, oh, yeah, right, you're talking to an audience that hopefully is a lot large portion of it, maybe is that rare person we talk about on this show that only plays Madden, only plays the new Call of Duty, only plays whatever, Assassin's Creed. That's what they're getting every year. And they're not listening to a Games Daily. They're not reading an IGN. They're not listening to Waypoint. They don't know what's going on there and that there is this undercurrent to it of what's happening. And so I thought it was awesome that he started so broad talking about, like, the people who make your games, though, aren't in a great spot, and let's get into that and dial all the way down to he's actually talking to Cecilia in the Kotaku office, like, about what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. It was there. They shoot in New York, so I'm sure that was over there. I just thought they did a great job, and every episode's this good. Like,
yeah.
I feel like, honestly, I feel like this was one of the weaker ones overall, but a lot of that probably had to do with the fact that I already knew what he was saying.
Sure.
You know, whereas a lot of the times I'm like, I'm wowed by the next level. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It goes deep.
Yeah. And I don't get me wrong. He's bringing up great points. Some of the footage, when it's like he pops up 4x3 footage, I'm like, all right, well, clearly this interview is a little bit old. Like, I don't know if we need to be jumping on it. And he was dunking all over Tim Sweeney.
Oh, my God.
Making his rocks and his fucking
MTV
trying to clean. Like, oh, my God. Oh, no. Greg also was, so then backwards, right? Considered veterans for 5 years. Is that more of a telltale thing? I think that's a thing that ranges depending on what developer you're talking to. BioWare Edmonton, I know, has had people forever and ever and ever and ever. But there's plenty of other studios that burn people out really
I mean,
quick.
At the end of the day, it's a new kind of world that we're
industry
in still. So like being a veteran doesn't require that many years.
Yeah. And then how would you think we'll ever see the NBA sponsor in a Fortnite 100%. Thing? Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm
gotta
surprised
go where the
that's
kids
not already happening.
Yeah, you got to go where the kids are. You got to get out there and do all that stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, that's not even the first story on the Roper Report. Today we're talking about them blaming violent video games for shootings again, Halo Infinite on Xbox One not being a second-class citizen, and Ooblets Fallout, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about.
That might be just the best or worst sentence.
Here's a whole fucking rundown
second
of shit.
Second class citizen next to shooting stuff.
Next to Ooblets Fallout. Each and every week down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Tim, can you believe that next week we are going to Toronto?
I can't.
I looked at the schedule for Kind of Funny Games Daily. It's next weekend.
Okay.
So next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend, we're going and being part of the Canadian National Exhibition in Toronto, the CNE, August 16th through the 18th. Myself, Tim, and Andy will be up there hosting two panels a day in the gaming garage. Right now at kindoffunny.com/events, you can go peep the times for all the panels, get your tickets there as well. We haven't announced the panels because one of my panel people is just hard to nail down. But I assure you, we have plans. Things will be happening there. Cool. It will be a mixture of us being morons like we normally are, and then hard-hitting interviews with people from Toronto that make video games.
Interesting.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Muhammad Muhammad. Today, we're brought to you by Hims and Raycon, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Not your day over there today, Kev?
You know.
I saw that we had the problem in the beginning with going live and the things weren't working. And then I saw you. I keep seeing you dragging things over here.
I'm just trying to set everything up. Sometimes the housekeeper cleans the keyboard and like deactivates the num lock.
Gotcha. Like, I hate when my num lock gets to, you know, that's what always throws off my mind, my Minecrafting too. Also, there's six items in the report. I lied to you. Or five items. I lied to you. It's not six. I don't know how I got six. Maybe I doubled the number. We'll find out together.
We added one. The Patriot Act was one.
Ah, there you go. Good call. That's what I was thinking too. That's totally what it was. Yeah. Trump McCarthy cite video games as driver behind mass shootings. This is Devan Cole at CNN. President Donald Trump and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy are citing video games as one of the reasons behind mass shootings in the U.S. The comments from the two Republican leaders come as a grieving nation struggles to agree on ways to prevent future gun violence in the wake of the massacres in Texas and Ohio that left at least 29 people dead. Congressional Republicans have resisted efforts to restrict the use and availability of assault-style weapons, and a sweeping gun control bill that passed the House with bipartisan support in February that requires universal background checks has not been considered by the Republican-led Senate. Quote, "We must stop the glorification of violence in our society," Trump said in remarks from the White House Monday morning as part of a list of efforts he believes the nation must take. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. He adds, "It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or substantially reduce this and it has to begin immediately." Trump did not mention specific measures to limit access to firearms, except proposing red flag laws that would prevent access to people who are mentally ill. Worth pointing out, CNN didn't toss it in here, but when I was watching and reading up on some other stuff, the article, the quote that Trump set up there was, "Mental illness and hatred pulled the trigger, not the gun." McCarthy, a California Republican, also cited video games as a driver behind gun violence in an interview with Fox News on Sunday. Quote, "But the idea of these video games that dehumanize individuals to have a game of shooting individuals and others, I've always felt that that is a problem for future generations and others. We've watched from studies shown before of what it does to individuals. When you look at these photos of how it took place, you can see the actions within video games and others," McCarthy said. In the El Paso shooting, the alleged shooter, identified as Patrick Cruzinus of Al Allen, Texas, is believed to have authored a 4-page document online shortly before the shooting, filled with white supremacist language and racist hatred aimed at immigrants and Latinos, and blames immigrants and first-generation Americans for taking away jobs. The writer cited a fear that an influential Hispanic population in Texas would make the state a Democratic stronghold. But, he says, quote, "The Republican Party is also terrible, because the GOP is, in his mind, pro-corporation, which could lead to more immigration." The author says he's held these beliefs for years before Donald Trump became president. A 24-year-old male, was shot and killed by responding officers. Police have not released a possible motive behind the attack, and two federal law enforcement sources have told CNN that a preliminary assessment of the shooter's writings did not indicate any racial or political motive. Well, here we go again.
Distractions.
Exactly.
That's all it is. And it's, you know, it's ridiculous because to the core of it, it's true, where it's like playing these violent games puts ideas in your head that you didn't have before. That's to the extent of that. That's where that
doesn't
ends.
A movie, doesn't
yeah,
a TV
doesn't
show,
a movie, doesn't everything,
doesn't my, your imagination, doesn't a story, doesn't a book,
exactly all of those things. Yeah. And it's just like, sure, that games are pushing the limits of realism of you being able to interact with those things, but there's equal arguments for escapism, and there's equal arguments for so many other things that are, this is all just like, let's throw something in front of the real problem and right. not talk about the real problem
right.
and just point fingers. It's all about pointing fingers in a way that everybody else can look at it and just be like, yeah, let's talk about this for now. Or the other side, I would say our side, looking at it and being like, no, stop talking about that. And then they take that as like, oh, you don't want to talk about that because that's the actual problem.
Right. That's the biggest nonsense. Thing about this is I saw it starting today. And obviously, you know, it's just like, not even, it's so hard to believe, right? But you look at it 1 week ago today, we did the, or Yeah, 1 week ago today. We did the Kind of Funny podcast where we talked about the shooting in Gilroy, California, right? Which is in the Bay Area. And I didn't even think about it, and it went live on Friday, right? And then everything, there's more shootings this weekend, right?
Two shootings this weekend.
We're right
two
back to where
since us doing that podcast.
And we're right back to where we were, right? And
except now we're adding video games to it.
Which you again. Can see, and that's my thing, is like the biggest thing about it is, I talk about on the Kind of Funny podcast where we're talking about the Gilroy shooting. Being exasperated and not knowing to do with his anger and not knowing, you know, just being lost, like I think we all feel in these moments. I think this is, as usual, such clear, subterfuge of trying to distract from the real problem that the best thing to do right now is not bite on this. This is clearly bait. Totally. This is clearly trying to get everybody riled up to fight this fight and forget about the fact that obviously gun control, that there should be an assault rifle ban, that there, you know what I mean, that there should be background checks, at all these things. Now, that's my belief. I'm just saying that's where I think it's trying to do, as usual, right? Distract from the real problem and the real conversation that needs to happen. In the same way that every time one of these happens and the argument starts for gun control, the detractors are like, well, this isn't the time. Mm-hmm. This isn't the time for this. Well, when is the time? Especially when literally there's now a shooting or two shootings every week.
Yeah. This stuff angers me so much. And really, my feeling is like, we need to stop having that conversation. Fuck that conversation. Push through with what you actually believe and argue for that. And this video game stuff is the same thing. It's like, stop. Don't worry about the fucking video games, man.
That's the thing, too, is like, that's the thing where
I see so many people worrying about it. I see so many people like, they're like, oh, we need to stand up as gamers. No, we don't. We don't need to do that.
They're not coming for your games.
They're not.
Yeah.
They're not. Yeah. Stop. Who cares? This is going to be fucking fine. If it ends up that we get some more ESRB, whatever the hell letters they want to add to it, cool. Fine. Don't let that bother you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
they're
exactly.
They're not going to ban stuff here. They're not going to do that.
Yeah. And it's the same thing, what, of like, I think right now for mature games, you have to show your ID, right, anyway? Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid being turned away, for the most part.
I mean, that those are the rules.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
And yeah,
exactly.
We see things in China and Australia of games being banned for this reason, that reason. Like, I don't see that happening here ever. And I feel like there's not a real
The fear would be, it would be the same thing as if they lessened or changed the rules for what an AO rating is, right? That's mm-hmm. where this all comes down to, because, again, the way you hurt anybody in a corporate world is their pocketbook.
Yeah.
An AO game won't be carried in a store. So that's why there's no AO games, right? So the concern would be this the rating scale of what they move it around. Again, this isn't a real conversation. This is not where it's going. This is not what's happening.
Yeah.
They're way more consumer.
They want you to think that's what's
happening. Yeah, exactly. They want us to get more furious about that and stop talking about the shootings themselves.
Because I feel like people will double down and be like, not my video games. And yeah. They will go out and vote and make that shit. They'll figure that shit out before it actually happens. Unlike the gun side of things.
Right.
Where it's like, clearly people are not able to rally the way that they need to.
Right. I mean, I think it comes back down to leaders, right? Mm-hmm. Strong leaders. It's one thing we desperately need in times like these. So everybody vote, even if you don't agree with me and Tim on certain things. Go vote for who you want and continue to make something happen. Because this is just fucking garbage all the time lately. You know what I mean? It's been a depressing internet to be on for a while, but especially in the last few weeks.
The last thing I want to bring up about the video games and gun stuff, it's like, it's been interesting being on the internet and kind of seeing many different sides and many different points of views from the same side. And a lot of people from the UK chiming in and like with all the stats that you're seeing, I'm just like, well, they play video games
too.
Yeah.
I almost tried to dig out that quote or the tweet because it got circulated around, but I never got to it. Just how many people play video games, and it's 5 times more in America, right? How much money? So UK versus
the population of each place.
And it was just UK to American. I think it was 2017 where it was, the population or people number playing video games was 5 times more. Then the revenue of video games was 5 times more. And then the amount of shootings was something like 426 more. Like, it was something ridiculous, right? Of like, clearly it isn't violent video games making it happen. It's the availability of weapons.
And I do want to point out, this is from Amy Gills. I've seen this go around in the on the Twitter sphere and stuff. There's a ban from 94 to 2004 on guns when the Bush administration let the ban expire. During the ban, mass shootings by assault rifles fell 48%. From 2004 on, killings from assault rifles rose 289%.
Yeah, that was the Clinton assault rifle ban, right? That then just lapsed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like that's a problem. Maybe we should get rid of assault rifles at the very least. I digress. There's a whole Kind of Funny podcast you can go yell in the comments about if you want to yell about that stuff there. And mainly, though, as video game fans, this isn't the fight to fight. Don't worry about this. Roll your eyes at it and fucking keep moving. Do like Gary Whitta, just donate to more groups that take your rage and give it to donations. Number two, Halo Infinite on Xbox One isn't going to be a second-class citizen. This is Alicia Judge over at IGN. While Halo Infinite is confirmed for the next Xbox, currently known only as Project Scarlet, Halo franchise development director Frank O'Connor says the game will still, quote, play and look fantastic on Xbox One. Speaking to YouTuber BlackMist523, O'Connor said, quote, obviously, the special citizen for Halo Infinite will be Scarlet, and we've worked with that hardware team to make sure the game shows up amazingly on it. But it will also be for Xbox One, and it will look incredible. Project Scarlet's list of confirmed specs so far reveal a powerhouse. When it launches at the end of 2020, it'll pack a custom AMD Zen 2 processor that promises four times the power of the Xbox One X, supporting 8K resolution and 120 frames per second gameplay. With that kit, it's clear that Halo Infinite will look and run better on Project Scarlet. But O'Connor was keen to stress that weaker specs don't mean the Xbox One release will run poorly by comparison. Quote, the Xbox One is not going to be a second-class citizen. We're building it so it plays and looks fantastic on Xbox One. And then everything else is plus, plus, plus. But we've got a few tricks up our sleeves that we're thinking about. Interestingly, Halo Infinite will hit PCs on the same day it lands on consoles. That's a significant step change, as no mainline release since Halo 2 has launched on PC. It means there'll be a much broader range of options for players looking for the best way to experience this next adventure.
And Halo 2 wasn't even at launch. On PC.
Oh, okay.
Good. Years later.
Dynamite dropping. Good job, Tim. Quote, this time, it's going to be up to you to decide. Is it going to be a Scarlet or PC? It kind of depends on your PC at that point, said O'Connor, seemingly hinting that it depends on whether you have a rig with better specs than the newest Xbox console. Tim?
Yes.
What's your take? You like Halo. You're excited.
Oh, yes. I'm very excited. This still doesn't answer my question.
What's your question, Tim Tam?
Is it one SKU or is it two SKU? This leads me to believe I'm correct. It's one SKU.
Yeah.
I like that. I like everything I'm hearing here. Build it for the base and plus, plus, plus. It's going to be my favorite new.
This is the Xbox Scarlet Plus, plus, plus edition.
Plus, plus, plus it up, man. That's all you got to do. We've seen it on the Xbox One X. We've seen it on the PS4 Pro. I want to see it for next generation. I want that to be the answer.
So are you fully in the Greg Miller bucket camp here that, yes, Xbox Scarlet games are going to work on Xbox One and they'll just look worse? Like there's going to be one disc that I buy out of the store that just says Xbox on it?
Something like that, yes.
Okay.
I don't think that'll always be the case necessarily, but yeah. I do think for the...
Oh, you don't think it'll always be the case, but you think for launch it will be?
Yeah.
You're answering too many questions from BJ Bernardo being asked. BJ Bernardo writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, I'm reading an article about how the Xbox One version of Halo Infinite will not be a second-class citizen, and I have some questions. Number one, will we ever get games that are exclusively on Project Scarlet, not even playable on Xbox One, or is games being played on previous console versions the future of gaming? Tim?
I wouldn't be surprised either way.
Yeah.
I do think that we're going to see, like, I think that Halo is going to be probably the first biggest example of a really core exclusive title that can be on the Xbox One and the next generation system. And it just works in terms of patches and in terms of sliders, in terms of all the things that we've talked about for the last five years.
Of course.
Right. I also think that there will be a level of backwards compatibility that'll be a big sales pitch. Like let's use PS5, for example.
Okay.
Death Stranding. We know it's coming out on PS4 now. For years, we were questioning where is it going to land. I still think that day one on PS5, they're going to be marketing Death Stranding as a game that you need to play on PS5, and it's now enhanced. You don't need to buy it again.
Sure.
You buy the same game. It's not going to be like Last of Us last gen.
Remastered. Yeah, okay.
It's going to be, you have the game, and now you get all the remastered stuff.
Sure.
And I think that will last for either the entire generation, but I could see at some point they're being like, all right, we're making exclusive titles for this. But also, if I had to bet, I'd bet against it.
Bet against which one?
Them being exclusives.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I think PlayStation's crazy enough to be like, not crazy, but crazy enough to be like, this is a PlayStation 5 game. It only works on your PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
I think Xbox trying to make up ground and be the best place to play and gamers forward and all that different stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that for sure they're going to be like, from here till the end of, and maybe I'm being too generous, but I think it'll be from here till the end of time, every game you're playing on your Scarlet, your Anaconda, whatever the fuck, that you're putting in there is going to look great, but just like any PC game, right? Like the baseline specs of an Xbox One are good enough that it's just going to be running, you know, blocky textures, whatever, and not even look garbagey garbage.
Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point maybe like it is a minimum thing like you're talking about where it does function more like a PC or like a mobile phone.
Yeah,
where it's like with iOS, it's like cool. iOS 13 is coming out, in next month, right? Like officially. And I think that the iPhone 6 Plus or whatever, 6S series is the farthest back you can go.
Yeah, where they eventually start dropping off.
Exactly. I think it could be like that. So at some point I could see there being like, you need a minimum Xbox One X to be able to play this.
Sure.
You know, maybe not the standard one, or maybe the S is the minimum. I don't know. But like, I wouldn't be surprised if that starts becoming commonplace because people can wrap their heads around that. You know, things have changed. It's not
100%.
Like, old school times where that would be like hyper confusing to people. I think that the Xbox brand could make sense as its own thing, and you just need to know what you have there.
BJ's second question, Tim. Is Scarlett a smaller upgrade like the Xbox One to Xbox One X, or is it a full next generation upgrade like Xbox 360 to Xbox One?
I think this is what a full upgrade is going to look like.
In these trying times.
And I think that, you know, evidence to go towards what we're talking about here, there being kind of like cross-gen and what the improvements are, is let's look at what they've shown and talked about for PS5. We see Spider-Man going blazing fast with loading and stuff. It's like, that's the stuff that they're focusing on. That's a PS4 game, right? Sure, there's going to be PS5 games that they could be shown and will show eventually for tech demos and stuff, but I think that we're about to get... Every generation had its thing, had its moment that kind of defined what the generation was going to be and what it was capable of. And obviously, you can look at Nintendo to Super Nintendo, jump to N64, you get the 3D, jump ahead of that to PS2, and you kind of get just like the Super Nintendo from Nintendo upgrade. Yeah. From there, you jump to HD. And then from there, when you get one from PS3 to PS4, then it was kind of, again, that similar thing. I think we're no longer going to have the every other cycle jump.
Sure.
I think it's kind of like, oh shit, well... we're gonna,
I think it's iterate. It's a frog in a pot thing where I think eventually it's going to be that you turn on your whatever Xbox Scarlett Pro X, whatever the hell they call it, right? Like not even the next one, but the one after that, and then you look at what an Xbox One, you're like, holy shit, like this doesn't look, you know what I mean? It's the fluidity of the animations, it's the sharpness of this, it's the ability to read the fucking newspaper.
It's
on the
table. RTX stuff.
RTX, great show.
It's all this little stuff that you don't know or don't care about, or unless you do, and then you really
like
you really notice. I mean, it goes beyond me at some point where it's just like, but 120 frames per second gameplay, guess what? When people have that, it's going to blow their minds. The mainstream's not going to notice, but it's going to look impressive as all hell.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you have that next to the sub 60 frames per second that we're getting now of the same game,
that'll speak volumes.
You're going to be like, oh, I want this. Yeah. I want the better one, you know? But there will be a ton of people that are like, I'm fine with the lesser one. And guess what? That's what Xbox
Game Pass is for.
That's
why you buy Switch.
Or you buy the Switch. It's like
BJ Barnardo, you're holding on. I want to bring this in because it's into what you're saying, right? BJ Barnardo says, and his final question is, does xCloud and Stadia just fuck all this up, being able to play anywhere on anything?
I think that there will always be a large group that wants to play in the best possible way they can.
Yeah.
And that will be what Scarlett's for and PS5 is for. And I think that they're going to have different kind of mission statements.
I think when you get to the streamy part of it, you know, xCloud at Stadia, the Scarlett thing. Sorry for the yawn in the middle. That's where we really, right now, I think what we've seen, what I've played with Google Stadia, like when I played Doom Eternal or whatever, right? And I was like, oh, shit, this looks really good. This is fine. Right now, that's fine based on me and my console eyes and everything else. When it gets to next future gen, 120 frames per second, four times the processing. Like when that is your everyday at home, then I think it is going to be that thing of, oof, well, I don't want to play primarily on Stadia. I don't want to play primarily on Scarlett. But if I'm in the Xbox ecosystem and I can bring it with me and I just want to bang out a duo or something, I want to do some daily mission and something, I can use that and be done with it and then go home.
See, I think it's always going to be like, I challenge that for most people.
Sure.
I even challenge that for you, which is how you play games, where you don't care about HDR and 4K. I'm sure if you had the TV and stuff, you would, but like you're not buying a TV, even though you could, to be able to get more out of the games that you play constantly, right? And I think that that is the example of the next gen of doing all that stuff. And good enough is so important. And I think that if the Stadia and whatever streaming we end up seeing in the next couple of years, if it's good enough, it's going to be good enough for a large group of people. And then those people can have the option to then upgrade if they want. Or then there'll be the group of people that are like, fuck that. I'm never doing the streaming stuff because it's not good enough for me. Cool. Then you have this option.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Double down on that and go hard. I'm excited to be able to do both. Like, that's so cool. But of course, I'm going to rather play on the Scarlett or PS5 over Switch if it is a third party title. Unless I value the portability. Or unless I value what you're talking about, Division 2, just being able to bust out whatever the hell, mission, daily stuff, yeah. like somewhere that doesn't matter that it looks great. You just need to be able to do something. But that's mobile phone shit, right?
Yeah.
That's the mobile gamification of real video games, right? Where it is the daily thing or you just want to, I just need to pop in and get the stupid
thing. Just gotta do the thing, gotta collect the thing.
I just gotta do the thing.
I gotta get the sticker, the stamp. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
whatever yeah. it is. And it's like, cool, that's addicting game design, right? And yeah. it's like to be able to do that on the go, like that's fulfilling for people. So it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Exciting times ahead.
They are exciting. I'm excited to see what happens. I almost got into a transition there, but I'm not ready for that yet. Number three, let's talk about the Ooblets Fallout. This is Matthew Handerhan over at GamesIndustry.biz. On Thursday, Andrea was on, and we talked about both MechWarrior and Ooblets. Ooblets that morning had put up a blog post that was like, hey, everybody, stop being entitled. Like, this is why we're going to Epic Games Store. And it was like, wow, what a bold statement from a developer coming out and saying, I'm sick of hearing this shit. This is why we did it, and this is why we did it. It didn't go well. Glumberland. Has received that quote thousands if not tens of thousands of threats as a result of signing an exclusivity deal with the Epic Games Store. The indie studio, which is just two people, Rebecca Cordingly and Ben Wasser, announced that it had signed a temporary PC exclusivity deal for Ooblets last week. The terms of the deal effectively covered Glumberland's sales forecast across all storefronts, allowing the small studio to raise its ambitions and bring in help without worrying about commercial failure. The UK developer anticipated some backlash, publishing a blog post that explained its reasoning and addressed the most common complaints with the Epic Games Store's divisive exclusivity strategy. It also tweeted, quote, okay, so we did the thing people get angry about, but maybe don't get angry about it, end quote. People did get angry about it, and to a degree that shocked Glumberland's co-founders. Quote, we really misjudged how angry so many people would be, accordingly, and Wasser said in a message on the Ooblets Patreon community. Quote, this whole thing has just devastated us. We've been getting thousands, if not tens of thousands, of hateful, threatening messages across every possible platform nonstop. It's especially hurtful since we've had such a positive, supportive relationship with our audience throughout development, end quote. The Patreon community has also been the source of messages of support, Glumberland said, but the intensity of the response was such that, quote, I have been crying nonstop for the last 2 days and feeling like the world has collapsed around me. I couldn't have guessed the scale of what it would feel like to be a target of an internet hate mob, the statement said. I already had a lot of empathy for other targets of previous hate mobs, which is why we wanted to address that sort of thinking in our announcement. But I had no idea it was this bad, end quote. One of the key issues within the Ooblets Patreon group appears to be the studio's need for financial support from the public, given the terms of the deal with Epic. Glumberland acknowledged this in an initial blog post and said again in the statement that it, quote, wanted to get your take on that. However, the volume of messages Glumberland claims to have received would suggest that the backlash has extended beyond Ooblets Patreon community, which only has 1,100 members.
Only has.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Sure, but there's a lot to unpack here, uh-huh. right? Because when it happened on Thursday, I remember reading it and being like, wow, what a fucking bold move here for them to come out and say all this. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to go over well with We Hate Epic Games crowd, and they're going to get hate for it, right? That's you and me, me personally, having worked in this industry for 12 years, I've been an internet personality for 12 years, and understanding literally if I say, man, my favorite color's blue, I'm going to have a whole bunch of fucking people who love red being real assholes to me in every internet comment.
Trust me, I'm familiar.
The YouTube comments, the Twitter, and not only that, literally years from now. And this mm-hmm. is just the thing, you can go ahead and make the joke if you want on Twitter, but I'm talking about like, the internet ever forgets and will anything you fuck up, they'll drag you through the glass for it over and over again. So when they did this, it was that thing of like, man, bold move. I support it. And we talked about it on the show where Adam from Rooster Teeth had written about it and was just like, I don't understand why this is a thing. Like, it seemed kind of aggressive. And it was like, I talked about it with Andrea on the show of, I get that perspective if you're an outsider. And maybe I was thinking of this way too insulary of like our audience. And we talk about this all the time, how much people hate the Epic Games Store and blah, blah, blah. That to see a developer be like, we're kind of sick of hearing people talk about it. And here's why you're all being entitled and yada, yada, yada. It's interesting then to see now on the heels of that, them not expecting that this is the outcome of that.
Yeah.
If you want to be outspoken and you want to take a stand and you want to get up on the hill and have your sword and shield and be like, fuck you. You got to be ready for everything that's going to come. And to your point of only 1,100 patrons, right? For me, and again, this is just being tempered, I guess, in the fires of internet hell as we all have been. It's the idea of like, okay, if I'm getting thousands upon thousands upon thousands of messages of hate, cool. It's at some point I don't care because I have 1,100 people that actually care enough to give me money to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Right? If that's the audience, these people who are now piling on probably were never going to buy Ooblets, probably have never heard of Ooblets before, and are just mad that I'm doing this.
Yeah, and speaking of that,
yeah.
So I'd heard of Ooblets before.
Sure.
But I was like, I think I've heard of this thing like a lot more than I've actually seen it.
Yeah.
And I just looked it up now. Not what I thought.
This cutesy, boppy, weird little game, right?
I thought it would be cutesy. I expected, you know what? I thought it would be more of a Minecrafty type thing.
Yeah. No. But
maybe with like circular instead of square, if that makes sense. Imagine
yeah,
Minecraft.
No, that makes perfect sense. I'm with you.
That's
I'm with
what
you.
Ooblets would be. Didn't expect this. Obviously hate mobs are bad. I don't need to say that. at the game store, they're going through a lot of shit, and they really got to sort stuff out. And yeah, you gotta know how to talk to communities, or else that could reflect really poorly on you.
Yeah,
like that. Those are all the morals of this story. I definitely feel for them. At the end of the day, at least her.
Well, her and him. There's two.
Yeah. Well, so it sounds like one of them said the entitled thing. The other one didn't. Can drag through.
I think it was just a joint post.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was ever attributed to anybody.
Yeah. I don't know. It sucks.
Yeah.
All of it sucks.
Who I'd like to bring you is Sapphire Diamond Ruby, who wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Morning, KFGD. And sorry, this is a bit of a long one. Everybody, when you write in, you take your time. Don't you worry about it. Last week, you discussed the Epic Games Store exclusivity deal for Ooblets, and over the weekend, so much discourse/toxicity has gone on with people who are looking to have an open discussion, trolls, and people who are now jumping in because just want to see them fail/watch the fire as they burn. As a member of the Ooblets patron community for over a year, this is my first time experiencing such a massive amount of online toxicity inside a community that I feel a part of, and God, does it suck. Personally, I try to avoid toxicity at all costs when it comes to things like this, and nope, out of there quick. But for my own mental health, but when it happened to a community you've been a part of for so long, that isn't an option. The devs can't change their initial messaging on this. What's done is done. So now they have to deal with the aftermath, which my heart breaks a little for them, with how much pure hate is being thrown their way. Because hate at people is never an option, and people just don't seem to get it, discussion is one thing, hate is another. Do you have any suggestions or general thoughts on how an online community/community member can deal with things like this? Is it just trying to keep the good vibes conversation up with people you care about and keep your heads down? Would love to hear your thoughts on this if you haven't. Thanks as always, and have a kick-ass Monday, Sapphire Ruby or Sapphire Diamond Ruby.
What a great question that I wish I had a great answer to. I feel like the top level, and this sucks because it shouldn't be this way, but it is a time heals all wounds thing.
Yeah.
Just like keep your head down and weather the storm, because the storm's only going to keep going on if there is vitriol being thrown around.
Yes.
And I feel like even I'm going to use a lot of like vague words here.
You're painting with a broad brush.
The good ones,
yeah.
Right, in the community,
yeah.
They can only defend the developers or the creators or whoever so long before their words get spun out of control and they get turned into part of the problem. And then all of a sudden, they're using the same language that the bad ones are using. And then all of a sudden, the community as a whole is bad, right? And then it's all of a sudden, it's the whether it's the Reddit or it's the Facebook or it's the Patreon community, whatever community, Discord, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, people that are new are coming in and they see this, like, this is a fucking shitstorm.
Yeah.
And in the same way that you make your mistake and that you're going to, Ooblets is going to be held to this for the rest of their lives, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about this, I forget what context, but last week where I was saying, you make the one mistake and it's stuck with you, like with Fallout 76. Like no matter how much they fix that, it's still, people are going to make jokes about the messenger bag, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like no matter what they do here, people are going to, not everybody, but a group of people are going to reference this shit. And that sours the whole thing where, let's say they fix all of this. And then in a year, people are going to come in and there's still going to be the snarky motherfucker that's just like, oh, well.
Oh, well, they said that they called me entitled.
Yeah, like, oh, well, you know, don't be entitled here or else blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, then people are going to be like, wait, what's going on? Because they'd have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it gets brought up. It's like, well, don't bring that up. And then it turns into this whole thing of like, great. So now the entire community is focused on nonsense.
Right.
So the answer is, I think, just be cool. Like, it's not pushed forward in an aggressive way of like, the person that wrote in was
I love you trying to solve this problem.
I want to make sure I'm like saying the right things and not misspeaking. A lot of people, I feel, want to just go in and keep things going as normal.
Yeah.
Right? Keep the conversations going and just stay positive. We want to talk about Ooblets. Let's talk about Ooblets. Start the conversation. Start the thread. talking about Ooblets. Don't start the thread saying, trying to bring some positivity here. It's been real negative lately. Let's talk about Ooblets. Because then all of a sudden, you're missing the conversation, and it's going to just turn into a dumpster fire, and then that's going to make you feel like shit, and then I feel like that the good ones feel beat down and eventually either want to leave or turn to the dark side. There's no other option.
Become everything you hate, the lightsaber turns that
point. I guess I just said a lot of words that I don't know if they make a lot of sense together, but I think the best advice would be to keep your head down, just push through if you actually care, don't let it get to you, water off your back, and yes, keep the conversations you wanted to have going. But don't bring anything else into it. Just have those conversations.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing we've learned over the years of doing this, right, and I'm talking about IGN to Kind of Funny to wherever Kevin's taking me after this whole thing explodes, is the idea, right, that people who are trolling you and are coming in and not wanting to have a conversation and are clearly there trying to poke you in the fucking eye, they don't want, all they want is acknowledgement. Don't acknowledge them. Don't acknowledge those people. If you're a fan, if you're in these communities and you're a fan of Ooblets, don't respond on behalf of the developers. Don't argue with those people. It's, again, your 1,100 person community, right? You know who's coming in for the right reasons and who's coming in just to be, hey, look at these fucking assholes that said this fucking thing and blah, blah, blah. Just if you don't engage with the trolls leave. The trolls move on. If they don't get what they want, that's, you know, they go away. They move on to the next thing. Not to mention, that's the thing. This is the Epic Game Store moment of the right now. Yeah. This is the Epic Game Store exclusive of the moment. In 2 days, somebody else is going to announce this, and it's going to move on to them. And this is this band of locusts that is just going to follow this store. And again, to your point of the good ones, the bad ones, right? I'm not saying if you don't like Epic Game Store, you're a locust. If you're the one who's going there, flaming these people, making them cry, and not even saying, like, I'm very upset by your decision to do this, but like, if you're that person, you're one of the bad ones. If you're going case by case, like, I'm so mad you're there that I'm going to say horrible things about you and your wife and your company, and I'm going to threaten you, and I'm going to do this, like, that's a different level of, hey, I think this is a bad deal. I think you might be selling our information to Tencent. Totally different story. They're not going to stick around. They're not going to stick around in that Patreon community. They're not going to stick around in your message boards, your Discord, your website. They're going to move on. You got to weather it. You got to say your piece. And that's the thing, is like, they've said this here, and they put up a Patreon post on top of this, I guess. You say your piece, and that's your piece, and then you move on. Mm-hmm. And then if you need, really, if somebody pops up with it, wanting to have a conversation, you can always point them to that thing. Totally. Here's my link on what I said. I can't say it a million different times.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to say about this, because in the article or whatever, someone brought this up, but there's the question of, like, why are we supporting you on Patreon when you're getting the money from Epic? From what I'm seeing on their Patreon, they're not saying that we need your support to make this stuff happen. It's, hey, look at our, you can become a patron and get these services for supporting us, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that them being transparent and talking about the Epic stuff and, like, having that be out there, it's like they're not trying to pull one over on anybody. And I just feel like people need to understand that Patreon isn't just, it's not crowdfunding. You know, it's like also a good and services.
That's what we use it as, right? Exactly. I mean, we're always happy to talk about our stuff, like, because we want to promote it. I don't know. But it was the idea of when we moved, all right, cool, we're established. And we're not bootstrapping it, and we're using it as a subscription platform. That's how we're using it, right? Where it's like, if you want the shows ad-free and you want them early, this is where you can go get them. Mm-hmm. This is the easy way to do it. We moved
away
from...
The messaging changed, because it used to be, we need your support to make this happen. And now it's like, we're doing something that you can pay for and get. And then there are times where we're like, we need your support to make this other thing happen, but we're clear in that messaging, right? And I feel like they're clear in the messaging from what I'm seeing on their Patreon. So I just feel like people need to know what they're being mad at.
And that's also the other thing too, of you can remove your Patreon at any time, right? So if it was that, hey, guess what, oh my god, you signed an Epic deal, cool, you don't need my support anymore, I'm sure they're like, cool, totally fair and understandable.
That's, yeah, your prerogative.
Number four, and this is something you might have seen scuttlebutt on the internet, but let's get it out there now. Snake is not coming to Tekken. This is from Evo officially. They tweeted this. Just to clear things up, the Snake, and this is Solid Snake cameo video that we showed during Tekken Finals, was our idea of a little joke. It was not intended to imply a character reveal and was done on our own without consulting Bandai Namco. Sorry for any confusion. If you have no idea what they're talking about, IGN will fill you in. The confusion began earlier Sunday when, shortly before the Tekken 7 Grand Finals, a short video appeared on screen on the Mandalay Bay stage. The video appeared to play both an image of and the audio from Solid Snake's codec radio, leading many to believe that Snake was being teased as a new character for Tekken 7. How could I possibly misinterpret that?
Yo, Evo fucked up, man. Like, it was bad. It was real bad. because I get it, it's cheeky and fun, and I feel like this Evo, more so than others that I've seen, at least bits that I've seen, seemed like they were trying to have a bit more fun, like having a lot more like in between matches, having random, like Austin Creed put up a video of him
who?
Singing Xavier Woods.
Oh, WWE Superstar.
Yes.
Xavier Woods,
yes.
A.K.A. the host of the greatest YouTube channel going up, down, down. Austin Creed.
Yeah, him and his friends were there, and there was like some weird interlude where they just played the theme song from Street Fighter 4, Indestructible. It's a classic. And they're all singing and dancing around and stuff. It was like, it's just fun, you know, just dumb kind of like fun interlude stuff. And I can see this being kind of seen as, oh, we're just going to have fun with this. No, you can't do that when you're also having debut trailers and character announcements
in between
these matches. Like, this, the fighting game community is there for these moments.
Because I got it definitely as after it happened. Actually, Lucy came in there and she's like, you see they just announced the tease? I was like, what the fuck? Really?
Yeah.
Then it wasn't.
So, but Evo, man, what a fucking hype-ass weekend.
It seemed like
I
saw a lot of tweets about it.
So cool. The Smash Finals, oh my God, edge of my seat. Could not believe it. The final stock of the Smash Ultimate Finals was so close, so ridiculously close. So it was MKLeo and Tweak. So it was Joker versus Pokemon Trainer. And like, I don't normally see Pokemon Trainers in this level of play. Holy shit. The amount that they're switching between the three for different uses, like they'd get knocked off the stage and transform to like have different up Bs to get back. And it was insane. And then MKLeo's use of Joker to like fuck with him, it looked like MKLeo had it in the damn bag. But then the final stock, it just looked like desperation. And he turned to Charizard and was just going and racking up the damage. And it literally looked like Leo had it in the bag with Joker for sure. But any one strong hit would have fucked him up.
Wow.
And so it was just like down to the wire. And then he had it. And then Joker fucking knocked him down. Leo won. It was just so, so epic.
Nice.
Check it out. The last match was awesome.
This is also the one where Sonic Fox lost and the guy broke down in tears, and then Sonic Fox held up his...
Yeah, that was for Dragon Ball.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but it's Evo,
yeah,
right?
Dragon Ball Fighters, yeah. Really cool stuff. And also, the new Guilty Gear was announced, and it might be one of the most beautiful games I've ever seen.
Really?
Well, you know how Dragon Ball Fighters like is kind of unbelievable that that's a real video game? This kind of takes that aesthetic like a little bit further. Like, it looks a little bit more, like, HD is the only way I could describe it. It's gorgeous.
Next year, I want you to go to Evo.
I want to go.
You want to go, but you keep making excuses not to go.
Yeah.
And next year, no more excuses, all right?
Okay, no more excuses for
Jimmy. If you don't go, Kevin gets to take your hand and put it wherever he wants.
I don't even want to know
where
he'd want.
That's an official thing. That's an official thing. It could be a stove. Could be in a cop car. Could be in his mouth. Jesus. Finally on the Roper Report today, number 5, let's talk about Ninja's Mixer success. This is Brian Lover over at Screen Rant. Following his highly publicized breakup with Twitch, Tyler Ninja Blevins is off to a good start on Mixer, gaining 500,000 subscriptions in his first day and pushing the Mixer app to the top of the iOS store. He hosted his first Fortnite stream with the Microsoft-owned site from Lollapalooza, with a crowd of fans visible on the stream watching him live and a much larger one watching him online. The day after Ninja announced his move to Mixer, he posted on Twitter that he had already hit 500,000 subs. That's significantly more subscribers than he has on Twitch, which is currently under 15,000, according to Twitch Tracker, and twice the number he had at his peak of 250,000 in March 2018. You have to imagine the subs down to 15,000 are because people are fucking bailing.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
He did not just have 15,000.
Just making sure everybody's on the same page, but still way more than his peak in March 2015 of 250,000. It's important to note that Mixer is currently offering free subscriptions to Ninja's channel to welcome him to the site. Interesting. So it remains to see how many of the new rush of new subscribers will stick around once the promotion ends. Nonetheless, it's an auspicious start for the streamer's new channel after his risky move from the platform, which he made his fame. Ninja's arrival seems to have been a boon for Mixer as well. As Ninja's subscriber count grew, the Mixer app was climbing to the top of the iOS charts. It's currently top ranked free app on Apple storefront.
What power, man.
The power.
It's insane. Where Ninja goes, people will go.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So what do you think it means? Are we going to see a real shakeup here? Do you
think this is enough? I hope so, man. I think that it is enough to at least cause some change. But I really hope that it pushes just a little further and a little faster than it's currently going.
Yeah.
Because I want to see some real I want... Twitch needs some competition, man.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm saying that as a content creator that does not like the contracts that they have and the exclusivity shit. So let's get rid of that, man. Here's the push.
Here comes the push from Ninja himself, everybody. Ninja, take it away. Oh, he's not here. Tim?
Yeah.
I'm excited to see if Ninja can change everything. If Sherrod will go over there, if we'll go over there, if he can solve this gun violence problem we have. But Ninja's moves are still so far away and shady. I mean, like in the shadows. If I wanted to know... what Ninja was doing over there in the future, but I want it. Where the fuck can I see games today?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today! Smooth Mover on PC, Red Death 8 Feet on PC, Vacation Adventures Park Ranger 3 on PC. That's a Gary Whitta game right there. Mine Ralph on PC and Mac. Then GameSpot reports, the third and final Pokemon Go Fest of the summer kicks off in Japan this week, and to commemorate the event, Niantic is making a new shiny Pokemon available worldwide for a limited time. Beginning today, players around the globe will have a chance at encountering shiny Poliwag in the wild.
Poliwag.
Now, if that, I said Wog.
Yeah, you said it wrong.
I know.
Do you know what a polywag is?
Yeah, I'm a Pokemon master, level 31. Uh-huh. I know what a polywag is. You know what I mean? Yeah. I still think it should be wog, but that's just me, I guess. You know what, though? We could change it, guys. If somebody walks in here and they're like, can I have a tomato? Kevin's going to give him the tomato, right?
Nonsense.
He would.
Stick on this Pokemon Go train, though. New dates for you. GameSpot continues. That isn't the only special Pokemon appearing during the event. A few hours after the shiny Poliwag arrives, hat-wearing Pikachu will return until 1 a.m. Pacific time on August 12th. The iconic mouse Pokemon will be sporting a different hat each day. So if you missed any of them the first time they were available, you have a second chance to add them to your collection.
These goddamn Pikachus, let me tell you what, Greg. Back when I was 9 years old, there was this craze going around surfing Pikachu. It was a Pikachu that could use surf.
Yeah, sure.
And you had to do all these like random things and events to actually get this Pokemon. There was a card.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. But he's an electric mouse.
Shouldn't be in the
water. What's he doing
surfing? In the water. Yeah.
Those dogs doing surfing this week? And that's a kind of funny podcast conversation later, I'm sure.
Instagram.com/ none of them are even up anymore. Follow me on Game Over Greg for goofy stories. I'll tell you what. The biggest problem with Pokemon is that Pikachu isn't like the most powerful Pokemon. Because I want to use him all the time, but guess what? He just sucks.
To watch the anime.
And then I gotta go in there. I gotta boost him. And then if I turn him into Raichu or whatever, guess what? He's like, he doesn't even look like Pikachu anymore. I just want Pikachu. I just give Pikachu candy and make him really powerful? No, sure can't. So here you go. Use this Rhino who's wearing orange armor. All right, whatever. Which was Pikachu, but it's not. Time for a reader mail, but first I'll tell you about our sponsors. First, we're starting with Hims. Summertime is here, and while you may be breaking out that baseball cap for a day at the beach or the ballpark, if you're wearing it to hide thinning hair, you may not have to anymore. Thanks to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Of course, Nick and Andy used this. They noticed their hair was thinning, and they said, we're going to 4hims.com. We're getting to talk to a doctor. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. If you didn't know, 66% of men lose their hair by the age 35, and once you start to notice it's thinning, it can be too late. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. You get well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's easy. You answer a few quick questions, and a doctor will review and maybe prescribe you medication. Stop worrying about sunblock for that spot of thinning hair and do something to help stop hair loss and promote hair growth. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details and safety information. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. Our next sponsor is Raycon. They say in the ad, share your personal experiences.
Cool Gray got them. Cool Gray got them, and he's been using them. They are earbuds, wireless earbuds that you get to put in. And there you go, and then you get to listen to music. He's been doing it for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
He's been loving it. He keeps calling me, telling me how much he loves these things. Right, from Ray J, singer.
Okay.
One Wish, 2005.
How can you
smash
forget?
Hit One Wish.
Lest we forget.
You know what I'm talking
it's
about.
It's 2019.
There.
Everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you can check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing. The company was actually co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg are already obsessed.
His cousin.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Snoop Dogg's cool. Raycon. E50 wireless earbuds have totally changed the game for Cool Greg. They're so comfortable and so easy to take anywhere. Unlike some of the other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems.
Which is
Kevin.
Great. I don't like those dangle stuff.
Me neither. So. That's how I'm making a reference over there to Kevin. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. I already said that part. And of course, They don't just look great, they sound great too. Raycon offers offers their wireless earbuds for everyone in a range of fun colors and at an unbeatable price. Go buy raycon.com/KF Games to get 15% off your order. That's buyraycon.com/KF Games for 15% off your Raycon earbuds. If you've been eyeing a pair, now is the time to get an amazing deal. One more time, buyraycon.com/KF Games.
It gets the certified cool Greg. It's lit.
It's lit. We had so much reader mail on the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll go with this. Everybody calm down. Nobody get too excited. Stephen James Oslin writes in. Says, hi, Greg and Tim. I happened to scroll through SIE Sony San Diego's studios releases on Wikipedia, trying to remember the name of a game. Parentheses, it was Guns Up, lest we forget. When I noticed a listing for Mod Nation Racers 2 slated for 2020. Did I miss something, or is this just an unsubstantiated rumor? Can I get hype for one of the most underrated kart racers of all time coming back? Steven, under no circumstance can you.
No.
Because I did not hear about this either. I also didn't have time. Kevin, give me a Google search on Mod Nation Racers 2.
There's no way.
It's like Mod Nation Racers is so close to my heart that for sure if this had happened on PlayStation, clearly I would have heard about it. Somebody would have
been flooded with
I don't know where, you know, so it's like that. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like it seems like something would be out
this
there.
This is the news that can just fly under Greg Miller's radar.
But I don't want to get excited. You know what I mean? But he's got me excited, but it shouldn't be. It's got to be an unsubstantiated rumor, right? I'm opening up the Wikipedia here.
I'm not seeing anything that is worth
it. Scroll down. Yeah, Mod Nation Racers 2. It's got a red underline. Page does not exist, is what it says. Mm. There's nothing citing it. Yeah, I mean, we can dream, you know what I mean? But I don't want to dream like that. I don't want to have my heart broken.
There was a Mod Nation Racers 2.
Yeah.
Right?
No. There was a Mod Nation Racers Vita, not a full-blown sequel. There was Mod Nation Racers then.
Trip.
Yeah.
Whatever. Got it. Okay, people are just petitioning for a 2.
As they should.
If you Google it.
As they should. Mm-hmm. A great game, underrated, load time's too long. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. Didn't stop me from giving it a 9 because I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Give it a 9.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It earned it.
Okay.
It was a really good harvester. Did you play it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I wouldn't say 9.
The creation was great.
Yeah.
I like the leveling up of the weapons to fight things, you know, just do things. I thought it was beautiful on PlayStation 4. A lot of good creations.
Yeah.
I think that probably is what.
Mod, you know, a lot of good mods.
Dazzle. There were a lot of great mods. I said Dazzle, by the way, too.
Dazzle?
It's a rough day. It's a rough day for pronunciations. I got the polywogs. I got the Basel.
So much.
Don't know how it's going. Gilly Brums writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Greg and Tim. Do either of you experience new game fatigue? I'm sure it's a little different being in the industry, but lately, with only 1 or 2 hours to play after work and daily duties, I find it difficult to start a new game even despite wanting to. Going through a tutorial, learning new mechanics, or starting a new trophy list when tired or running low on time sounds like a big enough chore that I will often just revert to the same games I've been playing. Is this a real thing that either of you experience? And if so, what do you do when this happens? Thanks for all you guys do. Gilly Brums.
1,000,000%. The idea of starting a new game, having to like make your character and like set up your names and get the save files and make your choices of what difficulty and this and that. I'm like, fuck, man. That's like 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
Usually, like to get through all the bullshit, it's about 2 hours to get into the game.
Yeah.
And by the time then you get to that point, you're like, all right, well, maybe I'll come back to this tomorrow. And then it's always
something else happens. Something grabs you.
It's like, it just loses you.
That's the reason.
I wish it was a little.
This is my thing right now with why I haven't made any progress in Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Is that I sit down and I'm like, cool, I have 30, 45 minutes right now. And it's like, ish. I don't want to get cut off in the middle of this tutorial. I need like, I want 3 hours with that game.
A good solid 3 hours, then you'll be in.
Exactly. So I'm just letting it sit for the next like airplane ride that's longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's for sure this weekend it happened to me. I was like, all right, cool. Like Jen got caught up in some work stuff yesterday. So it was like, all right, cool. We were going to play the Borderlands DLC together. But it was like that. How much time do I have? And I looked at all the games I have stacked on my PlayStation on my Switch. And I'm like, I could start any of these new experiences that I know I need to, like Fire Emblem or whatever, and I just went and played some easy trophy games and then kept chipping away at DC Universe Online on Switch, which I'll talk about this week on Gamescast.
Hell yeah. Exciting stuff.
What do you do, though? I think you have to just have a plan for when you will get to that other stuff, which inevitably becomes your backlog, which inevitably kills you.
Which is fine. But just make your decisions. Live your life.
Live your
life. If you want to play the game, and make time for it.
Don't go
chasing
the
range. You need to make
time
for the games that you care about. You know?
I do. I do know. Sorry, it's time for Squad Up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with your name, username, platform choice, why you need help in a game. I read here, the best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Kyle needs help on PlayStation. His PSN name is Steel_Reaper. Hey, Greg and Tim. I'm a longtime member of the Silent Majority since the Beyond days, but I am reaching out with a squad up on the sad side. I'm looking for some KF best friends in San Diego area who really just want to hang out in person or via PSN and help someone through a tough time in their life. I moved to San Diego a few years ago, and now my wife, who we now have one kid together with, another on the way, has asked that I take the role of stay-at-home parent so she can continue her career. I was happy to do so and loved being a dad while doing some work part-time from home, but that was until the other day when I was informed that she would be filing for a divorce. So needless to say, I'm pretty broken up right now and in a position where I really don't have any friends or family on my own here and would really just love to hang out with some best friends and chat about video games, fantasy football, or really whatever. As a side note, I'm also now in need of some full-time employment to be able to support myself. So if any KFBF is a need, an employee, I have my MBA, an extensive background in HR, and some accounting work. I know the last one's probably a long shot, but I figured it couldn't hurt to ask. Thanks for the years of laughs, guys, and being a daily part of my life. Steel_Reaper. If you want to hang out in San Diego, maybe at Polite Provisions, or just play some games with Steel Reaper on PSN, hit him up. Keep your chin up, Steel Reaper. You got this. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Internet's been rough. It's been rough in the video game industry these past few weeks, it seems. Yeah. I got a heartwarming required reading for you.
Ooh.
All right? It's called To Ben Studio, Thank You. You can go to twitter.com/VikingDad278. Basically, I saw some of the... Eric Jensen, of course, longtime Beyond fan, longtime Kind of Funny best friend, tweeting this out that basically a whole bunch of the Days Gone community, there's this thing called the Broken Road blog that's all about like their experiences and stuff with Days Gone. The guy who runs it, reached out to all the other fans, and they all put together like thank you notes, basically for Ben Studio about how much they love the game. The intro in one of the posts reads like this: A group of incredible fans from around the world contributed in creating a very special message dedicated to Ben Studio, the creators of Days Gone. From the USA, stretching all the way to Australia, we wanted to express our love for Days Gone and share with you our appreciation of your tireless effort in creating such an incredible game. Days Gone impacted us all in different ways and became a favorite for everyone here. Now, I will go ahead and let the words speak for themselves. And like I said, dozens of responses here. I'm pulling Daniel Carapas. There's something magical about the singular moment you realize a game resonates with you on a personal level. That the story you are playing and the world you are journeying into are becoming part of your own memories. By the end of Days Gone, I knew the names of every character, as well as I knew the landscape and intricate roads of post-apocalyptic Eastern Oregon. And they go on like this, all sorts of great messages and stuff like that. I thought, hey, you know, we always talk about people being bad to each other. Shout out to you, Broken Road Blog. If you want to read all the things there, go to twitter.com/VikingDad278, or you can look at Eric Jensen. He's been retweeting it.
Very cool stuff.
Tim?
Yes.
Time for You're Wrong. This is where people go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast server on go. Charles J. starts and says, nope, that's nothing. That's editorializing. I appreciate it. Here we go. Matt the Wob, another one. This is a minor update to a past story. The publisher behind Awada-san is currently consulting with the Tuttle Mori Agency to bring the book to other languages. So that's great news. That was the one about Awada's story. We had some quotes from Miyamoto on it. I would love to read that. Lord of Pwn says, some important context to Ninja on Mixer. He currently has over 600,000 followers and is currently free to subscribe to him. On Twitch, he had over 14.7 million followers. So that's very important information. Thank you for doing that. And then Lord of Pwn says, Greg said Mod Nation Racers looked great on PlayStation 4. Mod Nation Racers was only on PS3 and the spinoff was on Vita, not PS4. You are correct. Of course, I was talking about the original Mod Nation Racers there on the PlayStation 3. But I forgot all my PlayStation 3 memories. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're dead to me.
So far away.
Started playing that the Borderlands DLC to get ready for Borderlands 3, mm-hmm. and that sucked of having to, you know, create just a random level 30 character to do it. And I thought for a second about going out and digging the PlayStation 3 out of Lucy James's room and come out, and I'm like, you know what? It's not worth it. I'll just do the random thing. I'll do the DLC. I'll get ready for Borderlands 3. And I'm almost there. I'm almost ready.
I'm proud of you.
Not long now, guys. Get excited, Kevin. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Let's run you through the host for the week. Tomorrow, it's me, Enrico from Geekaholics.com. He'll be here. Wednesday, it's me and Gary. Thursday, it's me and Andrea. Friday, it's me and Tim. Remember, the Kinda Funny Games cast is Thursday, August 8th at 2 p.m. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Me, Tim, Fran, Andrea, probably.
The whole crew.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, okay. I need to check. That moved, and I still haven't had a time because there's just not enough hours in the day. Mm-hmm. You didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. It's gaming news and stuff every day. You love it. it, you watch it, you enjoy it, you listen. We love you. Thank you. If you want to be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, you can get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily over there ad-free if you want. You get the pre and post show and ad-free and all that jazz for Gamescast 2. Party mode goes up early.
It's worth it.
It is worth it.
The dollar.
The dollar. Is that it? It's more than a dollar than for that stuff.
It's still worth
Video
dollar,
Game Club. You can get the Moonlighter Video Game Club. Exclusive content
with the
for
dollars.
Whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, we have cool friends is next. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.